This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
I left the city, I've been browsing. Treading water that they drown in. My head on a swivel, yeah. It's only really my surroundings.
Hello and welcome to episode 224 of the Smash Accept podcast. I'm your host, Michael Royer. You can find me on Twitter at DynastyDadFF. Today we got a little bit of a rise and shine with Dad and Snoog. You know, we're starting a little bit early because there's a lot of pertinent content. There's a lot of things that are going on right now that just struck that we want to get out there as soon as possible to you guys, the listeners, so you can start making those dynasty trades and get ahead of your league mates. Snoog, this isn't usually what I say, but good morning, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It feels good. Waking up, peel the eyelids open, eat my breakfast, and now it's time to record. No better time, no better day to do that. And we're 23 days away from the NFL draft, so I'm excited. I mean, it's like we get three Christmas mornings a year. We get the combine, we get the draft, and then we get the red zone, right? So you can't beat any of this. It's the best time of the year, and I'm excited to jump into it with you.
Yeah, I mean, I woke up all excited to roll over and smash. Let's talk about some of these trades. Let's talk about some of the pertinent information. You know, like for me, there are windows that open up. You know, we're talking about the NFL draft. But for me right now, we got to talk about Rashee Rice. So Rashee Rice, obviously, you know, without talking about the legal end of things, like without talking about, you know, obviously gets in the car accident, leaves the scene of the crime, you know, and we have some definite information that could happen here where there could be a suspension. You know, we don't know what that's going to be. This is an opportunity for me in Dynasty Snoog where I'm in 18 leagues. I sent out 18 trades for Rashee Rice. Where I shouldn't say 18. I owned him in three. But I sent him out. I got him in four leagues where you have to know your league mates. We talk about this all the time. If your league mates are risk averse, like such as Mung. Mung hates taking risk. So if Mung owned Rashee Rice, I would be going out there and I would be making offers for him immediately. I love taking risks. You know, when Tyreek Hill suspension was looming because of, you know, his child abuse case, I was buying him for seconds, and that was 3 years ago. Now that price escalated like crazy. Deshaun Watson, again, you don't have to like the person or what they did or what they potentially did. When you take your heart out of it, when you make it a dynasty profile, right? Like you're buying an asset. You're not buying a player. You don't like what Tyreek Hill potentially did. You don't like what Deshaun Watson did. You don't like what Rashee Rice did. But when you take that out of it and you say, you know what? Rashee Rice was worth the 108 yesterday. Right now I'm buying him and I just bought him for the 205 plus Dalton Schultz. I'm seeing guys in the Patreon buying him for 111 to 207. That's just an instant smash. Like as soon as he comes back, that value doubles.
Yeah, same thing happened with Joe Mixon last year. Remember the incident outside of his house when there was allegedly shooting? Alvin Kamara, too. I was buying those guys for thirds, late seconds. I got two RB1 seasons out of those guys. Mm-hmm. They're my two most rostered running backs alongside Travis Etienne. So I'm all for buying on a dip, especially when there's some type of incident that people get worried about. Like you said, Dad, I'm not emotionally attached to these guys. I don't give a shit what they do off the field. I'm winning money and I'm playing dynasty fantasy football. If I'm going to let my personal opinions get involved, then I'm not going to be as good as a dynasty player as I could possibly be. So always keep those two separated. I don't like supporting guys that are dirtbags, but it's a different game. It's a fake football league. So
Yeah. And people were like, so in one of them, I bought him for the 201 and the guy goes, get this trash off my roster. And you're like, first of all, we don't even know all the details. You know, we don't know what we don't know. And, you know, I don't think any of it's necessarily a positive switch. But at this point, everything in his career has been on the up and up. He's in Kansas City. He's the wide receiver one on an absolute dominant offense. And this is someone where right now I'm willing to pay the 111 or later. And I went in, and this is just something where you guys, that are in the Patreon get this kind of information first. I went through there. I posted this. I said, hey, go do this. These are the parameters. I just got them for Schultz in the 205. I just got them for the 201. I just got them for the 112. The most I paid was the 111, and then they threw in Tank Bigsby. I know, Tank Bigsby's gross, but they threw him in. You know, so it's like you're able to get him into those areas. And I went into the Patreon and said, hey, guys, start making some offers, and you'd be blown away. I mean, like, literally everyone was making offers, and there were 20, 30 guys, you know, that DM me, say, hey, I just got this deal done. Thanks. You know, and I want to highlight some of these offers, because on the same day, I put out my Dynasty buys, and I put him in there at the 111, and people were like, Dad, you're crazy. Like, why would you pay the 111 for Rashi Rice? And I go, because he was worth the 108 2 days ago. You know, like, this is Dynasty. If he gets a 2-game suspension, what does that mean in the landscape of a guy that plays 10 years? If he gets a 4-game suspension, what does that mean in that landscape? You know, he's still tied to Patrick Mahomes. At most, any of these guys get is a 4-6 games. And this is not that. This is not Henry Ruggs, where some people were like, oh, it's Ruggs 2.0. There's no one died here. You know, we're just trying to move forward. So some of these trades, I mean, Matthew Greathouse got Rashi Rice for Mike Williams and the 204. I mean, come on, when you can take a guy that's 30 years old and add the 204, which this year's class, you know, that's going to be a solid, you know, yeah. That might be Troy Franklin. It's a solid player, but it's not a Rashi Rice. You know, it's not a guy that's going to that smash opportunity. Guy Jalen Elite said he bought him for too late, 25 seconds. I'm okay with that. My guy Ryan Michael, love him on Twitter. This one I loved. He got the Rashi Rice in the 206 for the 112 and the 304. He upgraded twice. Like, this is the opportunity you have, Snook, here, where you can not just upgrade once, but in this one, he gets Rashi Rice, who I value over the 112, and then he got the 304 upgraded to the 206, and in this class, heck, that could be Jonathan Brooks. That could be Trey Benson. That could be Ricky Purcell. I mean, there's a lot of opportunities here to play around with those second-round picks. I mean, there's so many of these. This guy, JP, that's at BeerMoney25, he got Rashi Rice shares last night for the 206 in two different leagues. How much of an opportunity is this for you to literally take your team, especially in a rebuild or a building process, and that 206, right? You have a 25 to 35% chance of that second round hitting to be another Rashi Rice. Why not trade it straight up for Rashi Rice?
Exactly, yeah. And he's in a situation where he's going to thrive next year in Kansas City. They already proved that they want to use him like they were trying to use Kadarius Tooney, like they were trying to use Sky Moore. And he can win downfield, right? Like, this is a guy that was getting tons of screen opportunities, design plays from Andy Reid in that offense, and he's playing with the best quarterback in the league. So I think the best thing you can do, especially on rebuilding rosters, is buy Rashi Rice. Yeah. And I was just looking at what his kind of consensus value is. Just keep trade cut real quick. He's the wide receiver 30 now. I'm pretty sure
he was top 17.
Yeah, he was 17. Recently, like before this incident. And he is currently going with Diggs and Adams, which is fair. Those are elite vets. It depends how you view that landscape, but right after him, like Marquise Brown, Christian Kirk, Cooper Kupp, Terry, Amari Cooper. Like, you could be looking to add on those guys and move up to Rashi Rice.
That's just complete overreaction. And that's why, you know, in our rankings, I moved him from the 108 value to the 111. I moved him from wide receiver 17 to wide receiver 21. You know, like, we're not making crazy drastic movements. I mean, you know, if you had guys like, I had him slightly over Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison, JSN. I feel like he's more in that territory, but he's still above guys like Jaden Reed for me. He's still above guys like, you know, I think I would take Pickens even up. You know, if you're in that area, I think there's a lot of opportunity here to trade even out, but I'm more of like, hey, let's take some of these.
Yeah, I think I would take George Pickens over him, I think. I think Pickens is the more talented player.
Mm-hmm.
Just from a talent perspective, and I think Russ is going to help Pickens thrive a lot, but I think right there, like, I'm taking Rice over Reed. I'm probably taking him over Debo. He's right in there with the Flowers, DK, JSN guys. Like,
but people are moving him down to two tiers below where he belongs. I mean, I would rather have him than Reed, Diggs, Evans, Adams, Hollywood, Kupp, Downs. You know, like, if you're in those areas. I want to talk about some of those guys that made some moves on top of that. I mean, Rush Hour, he said he gave up his 25 first next year for Rushy Rice and Jalen Warren. Dude, that's such a smash. That's like giving up. That's like a free Jalen Warren, no matter the outcome. This guy said he gave up Calvin Ridley and Keenan Allen for Rushy Rice on a rebuild. Sports Fan 923. I love that because it's like in your rebuilds, I'm more willing to take a risk, right? I am very risk. I have no problem taking the risk because I think this is an area where next year, Calvin Ridley's 31, Keenan Allen's 33.
Yep.
Neither of them have any dynasty value where Rashi Rice is still going to be a top 20 wide receiver. Ed Miller sent the 112 and the 211. I'm okay with that. You know, I feel like that's right on that line for me. I think I'd be okay to do that. Other people, I mean, these trades just blow my mind. Reed straight up. I feel like that's pretty close to the line, but I prefer Rice. Guys are saying, what happens? You know, I love this guy on Twitter, Titan Travis. He goes, well, what if he gets a felony? He's sentenced. This does not look like something where in the past we've seen scenarios where, you know, we've had NFL players get in car accidents and they've done things where it's like, you know, you look at Aldrick Rosas in the past, previous DUIs, license suspension, drinking, ran a red light. He ended up getting a three misdemeanors and missed four games. This is not the same thing. I think Rashi Rice is going to end up possibly getting 1 to 2 games, and these trades 2 months from now are going to just benefit your team so much. J.R. Leonard gave up Rashad Bateman and Cortland Sutton for Rashi Rice this morning. Like, dude, come on. Like, you're talking about two guys with minimal upside that are going to get you minimal points. This one you're going to absolutely love from Stevens Nellums. I hope I pronounced that right. Rashi Rice and the 103 for Njoku, Olave, and the 202. You just got Rashi Rice and Malik Nabers? Like, someone panicked that much? No. Like, don't make these kind of moves. Rashi Rice for a random second. We got JSN and 2 late seconds for Rashi Rice in the 112. You're like, this is, you understand what we're starting to say here is like, dude, these are opportunities where you can move from one player to another. One guy in the Patreon traded T. Higgins, who you and I both love. He traded T. Higgins for Rashi Rice in the 204. The 204 is going to be a nice player. I have Rice and Higgins pretty close, but you don't have to go that drastic. Yeah. You know, this is just an opportunity for you to cash in because by the time the season rolls around, even if he does get a suspension, his value will go back to that 108 area as soon as he's back on the field.
Yeah, exactly. And I want everybody listening to realize that just because a lot of these trades went down doesn't mean that's what you have to pay, right?
Correct.
Start small. Start with a second. Start with a second and 25 and then work your way up because you'd be surprised how many people are panicking. And for those of you in multiple leagues, mm-hmm. I would just literally go in every single league you're in and just send a 25 second for Rashi Rice straight up. Maybe try a couple thirds in a small piece, like a guy like a, I don't know, like someone of value. Try to tier up from like a Quentin Johnston. Try to tier up from those type of guys. Marvin Mims in a third. Marvin Mims in 2/3. Like those type of deals. Josh Downs in a third. Like that's what I'd be looking to do. I wouldn't just go send a 25 first straight up for him as your first offer.
Yeah.
Always start smaller, work your way up, be a negotiable businessman and take advantage of that.
So I love that you said that because that's where every single one of them, I started with a Marvin Mims in a 25 second and Antonio Gibson in a 25 second. I didn't say, all right, you know what? Here's a first. And that's great that you said that because when you do the negotiations, especially on a guy that is dealing with a suspension, a guy that, you know, that has a lot of value, but you don't want to come across some of the leagues, you know, like I said, there were 15 of them, 3 of them said, hey man, that's the best offer I've gotten today, but I still don't value him that way. And that's fine. You know, and then half of those guys they came back with counters and some of them wanted what his market value was before this started. Then those are the ones where I was like, okay, I offered you a second. You offered me the 108. That's what he was worth last week. Let's scale it back to 201. Done deal. You know, and I think this opens up the art of negotiation. This opens up an area where you can start to play around with some where the one where I traded the 205 and Dalton Schultz. I don't need Dalton Schultz. He's been offering me for Dalton Schultz because I have McBride, I have Laporta, I have Andrews, and I have Evan Ingram. So he's my tight end 5. So that's just something you throw in there to sweeten up the deal. So I love that you brought that up because that's the way to start these out. Now, I put out my buys. I do that the first of every month. You know, I put out, and people are like, Dad, you said Devonta Smith for the 106. I can't get that in my league. And other people say, hey, you said Saquon Barkley for the 108. No one's paying that in my league. Every league is different. You know, like what Snoog and I try to do is we try to give you our, what we're doing, what the market value is, and how we put it all tied into one so you guys can make your own offers. I mean, if you know your league is all about running backs, then yeah, you might have to pay the 107, 106. I'm not doing that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
If your league is all about youth, that's why knowing your league mates, knowing your league, it's all different, but we try to give you market value so you can make educated decisions.
Exactly. And the format matters, because if it's a 0.25 per carry league, someone's going to pay the 108 for Saquon. But if it's a 0.5 tight end premium league or 0.75 tight end premium league, and they know Brock Bowers is going to go early and they can get like a Jaden Daniels or Drake May or J.J. McCarthy or Rome Odunze to slip to 8, then they're probably going to value that over that, right? Especially if they have a tight end on their team. You'd be surprised how many people still to this day draft team needs over value on the board. Don't do that. Always draft the value. If you don't like that pick, trade out. Because you can go get Devonta Smith for the 106 instead of taking a guy that you don't like, that you're not confident in. Just do that. Don't take a quarterback just because you need one, or don't take a running back just because you need one. It's always a bad process, in my opinion.
You always see that one guy that will take Trey Benson at the 104 because he went to Dallas, and you're like, well, you just gave up Jaden Daniels. Sorry. Not the way you do it. So one thing that I'm really starting to get into right now, you know, we passed March. Everybody loves every prospect right now, right? None of them are going to bust. You know, I came out with my top 24, and everyone's like, man, this class is loaded. Nobody's going to miss. Wrong. Like, there are guys that are going to miss. Last year, every year, Dynasty's so cyclical, we're like, dude, no one's going to miss. This class is fantastic. Everything's going to hit. And Snoog, now's when I'm starting to make some adjustments, where I'm starting to make some trade offers, where I'm trying to, you know, exploit the overexcitement for rookies. And everyone has that crazy rookie fever right now. I'm looking into buying some veterans, you know, and I want to go over some guys. For me, what I've noticed recently, and you've probably noticed on Keep Trade Cut, you've seen it on the market, a guy like Brandon Ayuk, who I want to highlight, who in January was going for the 105. Right now, he's equivalent to the 107. And I'm like, we're pushing rookies up, and we're bringing the veterans down based off of nothing, right? Like, I mean, if you had to say, do I want a Dunze or Ayuk, that's a thing, right? But I think when you look at these players, and I really want to key in right now on the guys that are 25, going to be 26, players that are in that 26-year-old range, 24 to 26, make up, I'm sorry, 25 to 27, make up 50% of your wide receiver ones and wide receiver twos over the last decade. Those are the guys that are in the prime of their career. 26 years old is peak performance. As you look at NFL wide receivers across the board, their best fantasy seasons have been at age 26. These guys, the Brandon Ayuk, Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, T. Higgins, they're all turning 26. And the cool thing about it, man, is they're in good situations, but they could leave in free agency and become number one somewhere else. So before I start talking about some of these trades on those guys, I mean, I'm personally buying up those four wide receivers and everywhere. Even Michael Pittman, you know, he's in that same area where it's like these guys are on. Now, Pittman just got paid and got his contract. Those other four, they're on the last year of their deals, or they're on a franchise tag where we know they're in a good spot, right? Waddle's in Miami. That's great. Devonta's in Philadelphia. That's great. Ayuk in San Francisco and T. Higgins in Cincinnati. All four of them are in really good situations as the 1B. But Snoog, if any of those guys go to another team as the number one, I think all four of them have number one skill sets.
I agree. And what I want to highlight too, my favorite one actually out of this group, just value adjusted, is DJ Moore. Right now he's outside of most people's top 15. He's sitting in like the 18 to 20 range. He's about to get the best QBs ever played with in his life. And he's 26 years old, coming off 1,300 plus yards. Missed the game too. And we saw monstrous performances from him. The Bears are growing. They're building something. I recently, in a start 11 league, traded Chris Olave for DJ Moore, 25 second in the 304. I love that deal. Yeah. I think I'm pretty confident DJ Moore outscores Chris Olave the next 1 to 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I get a second, and I get a 304 in a deep league. So those are the type of moves I'm looking to do if you're looking to tier up. Another guy, DK Metcalf, new offensive coordinator and coaching staff there in Seattle. Geno's not the greatest, but they have that connection. He's getting the targets. You know you're getting 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns from DK Metcalf, and there's upside there, right? Like, when he's healthy, when he's going, he gives you those monstrous game-winning league or those league-winning games. Like, he's a guy that sitting in the 20s, easy, can get him for 111, probably 110. Yeah, that's
crazy. Right?
I like that. I like him a lot. Those two are probably my favorite go-to buys. Just at age. I know the Lockett re-extension, but like, I think it's going to be DK JSN game. Lockett's just going to be a role player and get worse and worse.
I think the Lockett thing affects JSN more than it does DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf going outside the top 20 wide receivers is just disrespect. I mean, he's been a wide receiver 2 pretty much every season with a wide receiver 1 upside. And I mean, if they get a QB upgrade, something happens there, I think we have a big time move for Metcalf. DJ Moore, I love that, dude. I love that because Keenan Allen going to Chicago, a lot of people act like that was bad for DJ Moore. What would be bad for DJ Moore is Rome Odunze or Malik Nabers going to Chicago, right? That was the rumor before Keenan Allen went there. Now we have Keenan Allen, who's great, but long term, you know, like this is a 1A, 1B, 2 elite wide receivers where I think Moore could get better targets than what he had with Justin Fields and more targets because Keenan Allen isn't always on the field. You know what I mean? So I love that with what you were saying there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's Keenan Allen. I mean, he's a great player. He's one of my favorite players to ever play the game. Very respected guy. Very, very good player on the field. But he's getting there in age. 32 years old. He's had many injuries, hamstrings, ACLs. Like, he's been that guy for the Chargers. I think he's going to be a great number 2 alongside DJ Moore. But the thing I want to highlight is they play completely different. It's like Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., right? Like, they're completely different skill sets. They align perfectly together. Like, Keenan Allen's the underneath guy, the nuanced route runner, 5 to 10 yards. He's your guy. DJ Moore is that guy that you want to get the ball to him behind the line of scrimmage and get him downfield. Malik Nabers and DJ Moore is a great comp. I think Nabers is a much better prospect than DJ Moore was. But like, if Nabers turned into what DJ Moore is now, like, that's realistic. Like, he's going to be a guy that gets 1,000 yards every year. I love DJ Moore, man. I mean, he's that electric wide receiver that can win on all three levels. And I think Caleb's going to have a field day with those two.
So I love that. The guys that I wanted to highlight, I want to go back here real quick to Brandon Ayuk. I did a piece on him where I was like, why should we be buying Brandon Ayuk? And I know a lot of podcasts are saying to sell Brandon Ayuk. And for me, this is what I'm thinking about. So we just saw a glimpse of what we had as wide receiver 14, right? 1,342 yards on just 75 receptions. That makes him number 4 in yards per reception, number 2 in receptions over 20 yards, 5th in yards per route run. I mean, those are elite type numbers, but he was top 6 in yards, but 30th in targets. He had 105 targets, Snoog. I mean, this is an opportunity where if Brandon Ayuk gets 140 targets, this is someone that could go through the roof. And that's why I'm buying the wide receiver two floor in San Francisco. Because worst case scenario, what happens? They lock him up for 2 or 3 more years. He plays with Brock Purdy. He hovers in that wide receiver 12 to 15 range. And you don't lose out. I was comparing this very much to a guy today I was talking about. It's like Stephon Diggs, right? People say, well, you're buying your ceiling at 25. Yeah, but if you bought Stephon Diggs at 25, you had a wide receiver 1 for 5 years. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of where we're at. And then you look at the other side of this. Let's say San Francisco can't pay him. Potential landing spots that are cap friendly right now. The Chargers, the Commanders, the Cardinals, the Bills, the Steelers, the Broncos. There are a lot of teams right
Jaguars.
Now where exactly that he has a wide receiver 1 skill set, in my opinion. I think you get him into the Jaguars as the wide receiver 1 where that he's going to blow up. You get him in Buffalo after Diggs walks. I mean, come on. Like, this is a scenario where I could see him legitimately being a wide receiver 9 to 12 range, but you can buy him for wide receiver 12 to 18. My question is, and this is what everybody keeps saying, well, Dad, you say his value is 105. Market says 107. I don't want to pay the 105 or 107. When I say this is the market value, I don't want to trade, you know, what could be Malik Nabers for Brandon Ayuk. I don't want to touch that. But what I want to do is I want to take the 109 to 112, add a second, and get Brandon Ayuk. Because, yes, I love Worthy, and I love Thomas, and I love Franklin, and I love some of these guys in that area. If I can add a second to get a guy who I know, because there's literally 0% chance that Brandon Ayuk does not remain in that wide receiver two range for the next 2 to 3 years.
Exactly. And the thing that I like with Brandon Ayuk is 1,300 yards playing with Debo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle.
Yeah.
If that's his floor, I'm buying all day. Like, that is an incredibly high floor. And the best thing about it is he is playing alongside three of the most volatile players in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Christian McCaffrey is known for missing tons of time. Debo is known for missing tons of time. Like, Christian McCaffrey and Debo are literally the same player. Like, that's that scat pack receiving, like, elite player that's a yak machine, but they've had plenty of injuries in the past. And then George Kittle as well. This is a guy that is a physical monster on the field, blocking tight end. He's receiving tight end, elite year after year. But, like, they're all getting up there in age where Ayuk is still the young buck that's 25 years old, fresh, doesn't get injured, 1,300-plus yards, building that connection, operating as that elite route runner in open space and downfield for the 49ers. I think if any one of those guys went down, or even two of those guys, because we've seen that happen in the past with teams. Mm-hmm. Those powerhouse teams get the injuries. Brandon Ayuk, 1,500 yard ceiling all day.
And this is someone that I think is a top 10 route runner in the league. You know, I put that tweet out there. It blew up where we were talking about how he compares to everybody else as a route runner. And I think he's a top 10 guy. He's going to get himself open. And yes, Purdy, this was his best season. And people are trying to say that Purdy propped him up. The talent has always been there. He just needed a quarterback that was sufficient. Get him to Josh Allen. Get him to Trevor Lawrence. Get him to one of these other Justin Herbert. Okay, now we're going to see a guy that, like you said, could put up 1,500 yards and be a top six wide receiver.
Even New England, if he's just a 160-target monster there with Drake May or Jaden Daniels, like, that's a dream spot. There's no bad spot for him unless he ends up on, like, the Jets or something, right? Like, the Steelers alongside Pickens, phenomenal spot. Mm-hmm. The Rams in there taking over the Cooper Kupp role there with Puka. Good spot. Like, there's no, like, bad spot for Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins to get traded to. So, like, imagine him in Kansas City. I think Rashee Rice is, like, the Walmart version of Ayuk. Like, the non-route running version of Brandon Ayuk. Like, that yak explosive player. I think there's a floor of a top 20 wide out no matter where he is. And I think the ceiling is top 10. So, him, DJ Moore, T. Higgins, like, these are all guys that people are like, they're not Justin Jefferson. I want to move up. I want to go get A.J. Brown. I want to go get Garrett Wilson. Take advantage of that.
Yeah, and I think that's really, really insightful to kind of put it that way in a matter of, like, how you talk about it. Everyone is saying he's a sell because of what his market value is. But then on the same time, you're mitigating risk. I mean, if you can – I saw a guy – I mean, Curtis Patrick is in my FFPC league. Awesome guy. He traded JSN straight up for Ayuk today. I don't know who's making that deal. I don't know why you'd even consider. But JSN in a second, I'm smashing Ayuk. You know, you take away some of that. Zay Flowers in a second, I'm taking Ayuk. You know what I mean? Like, you get into that area where you start to get guys where I think you get some market value guys that are hyped up, and you can really start to make some hay. I want to talk about a couple insulated trades that I put out there. People were kind of upset about it, but I thought if you could take Puka Nacua or Garrett Wilson and get Brandon Ayuk in a mid-25 first, I'm going to smash that. Because next year's class, you know, we talked about with all the running backs that you can get to bridge. The wide receivers, you got Luther Burden, you got McMillan, you got Ibukwa, you got Stewart, you got so many guys there. You're going to get a running back. You're going to get one of these quarterbacks or a wide receiver. And now all of a sudden you insulate. Brandon Ayuk will be a wide receiver two with wide receiver one upside. You add a first to that, it puts you in this spot to win.
There's as hard as it is for me to say, I mean, he did last year. There's a real world where Ayuk outscores Garrett Wilson the next year or two. Like, that's a real possibility. If Aaron Rodgers plays a full 17 games, I think Garrett Wilson outscores him. I honestly think that's a pretty good comp, Garrett Wilson, Brandon Ayuk. They're both that nuanced route runner, great yak athletes, great downfield. I think Garrett Wilson is a guy that I love, one of my favorite players in the league, hands down. We know this, but it's not getting attached to your players, right? Like, this is what we're talking about. If I can get Brandon Ayuk in a mid-first, and I can turn that mid-first into Ashton Jeanty or Luther Burden, or Quinshon Judkins, I'm smashing that value all day. So,
what do you think of, I mean, Drake London hype is unreal right now, and you and I both love him as a prospect, but if I come to you today and I say, hey, man, you have Ayuk and I have London, Okay. I'm going to give you London in a second for Ayuk and your first. Smash or pass?
Smash Ayuk.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. And I said that to someone in the Patreon. They're like, Dad, but you love London. I know, but I also love Ayuk, and I'm insulating with that first round pick as opposed to that second round pick. We know first round picks next year are going to be really valuable like they are every year. You know, this is the time of year where we start to discredit some of those first round picks. But the day the 24 class drafts, you have a window to sell. And as soon as you draft players, as soon as your team's rookie draft is over, the 25 firsts go on, you know, they start to go on the rise. Right now, they're obtainable. They will go on the rise and continuously go up until people start to realize who some of these players are. Then they're going to go up even more. So go out there, insulate your teams, buy yourself Ayuk, buy yourself. And I was calling them bridge wide receivers, and people are like, why would you say that? And it's upside bridge, right? So you have Waddle, Higgins, Ayuk, and Devonta Smith. In the next 2 years, will either any of those finish outside the wide receiver two range? My answer is no. But if you can get them plus something, you can tier down and get that plus. Now all of a sudden you move into it where you make that trade for Garrett Wilson. You trade Garrett Wilson for Ayuk in a first. Now all of a sudden that becomes Judkins because that team faltered a little bit. Dude, you're in position to dominate. Exactly. And the more outside of T. Higgins, or I'm sorry, outside of Jefferson, Lamb, and Chase, I really want to tier down. I really do. You know, we have two guys that are going to join that area with Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers. But after that, I really want to start tearing down and gaining value. So right now we put it out there. It's April. We have, you know, what you said, 23 days till the NFL draft. So what are some players right now whose market value you're like, I got to buy into these guys. You know, I put market value out there every single first of the month of a rebuilding guy I'm buying, a contender, a bargain buy for every single NFL team. Based off that information, who are some guys that you're buying? You know, I mean, like, this is an area where you can either move yourself into contention or you can move yourself into more of that rebuilding. Right now is like prime time to make some moves. So who are you buying?
Yeah, I'll name three veteran guys that I'll name four veteran guys that I'm buying. And I've been buying these guys for the past 2 years. Davante Adams gets a new QB upgrade with Gardner Minshew. Going to get like 190 targets again. One of the best wide receivers from an NFL perspective in the league. Mm-hmm. Had another top 10 season last year, 260 plus points. Dominant target earner. And then we're looking at a guy like Mike Evans. He gets Baker Mayfield back. He's coming off arguably one of a career year for him when he's 30 years old. Mm-hmm. He's not ending this streak anytime soon. I think he's going to be one of those guys that plays till he's 33, 34 years old. He's another guy that is in the wide receiver 30s range, keeps his quarterback from last year. They did wonders together. Mm-hmm. I think he's a good buy. Amari Cooper, I think, is a great buy. He's in the late wide receiver 30s range. Go offer out a mid-second for him and see what that gets you. He's a guy that doesn't matter who's throwing in the football, right? We saw Jacoby Brissett, Joe Flacco, Deshaun Watson. He's always a top 15, top 20 wide receiver as a floor. And we saw him creep into the top 10 last year. And then my last guy that I'm buying, Stephon Diggs. I know there's a ton of drama with him. He's still a very good football player. Mm-hmm. I don't care if he doesn't win you playoffs. When you get to the playoffs, don't start him then if you're scared of that. He's with Josh Allen. He's a target earner. He's very efficient, coming off another great year last year. These are four guys that are going to help you win your leagues that you could probably get for late first at most. Mm-hmm. So those are the values that I'm looking for, because you could always argue young wideouts like T. Higgins, all them being buys, but a lot of the owners are stuck on those guys. Like, they want to hold them. They have the hope that they're going to be top 10 guys. These vets right now, especially, people want them off their team.
Yeah, and you look at these guys, all four of those guys, I mean, three of them I have valued at the 201. Amari Cooper undervalued more in that 205 range. But you start to take some of these guys and you start to do some trades. You start to look at guys that are similarly valued for no apparent reason, you know, like, you know, because they're younger. So you look at guys that aren't far off who you were saying. I mean, you look at Josh Downs is in that area. So if I'm a contender, and I like Josh Downs a lot, if I can go out there and I'll offer you, you know, Josh Downs for Mike Evans, and then you flip-flop a second and a third, or you flip-flop a running back who might have more potential. And that's a smash, because Josh Downs is not going to touch the stats that a Davante Adams is, that a Mike Evans, that a Stephon Diggs is. You make a quick flip in there, and the other guy's going to feel good about it too, because he's getting, you know, I made a similar trade on the other side where I traded Mike Evans and a late third for Josh Downs in a second. And I'm okay with that because I feel good. I feel like I can get enough value from Josh Downs to flip him again. And I think you start to look at maybe who are some other guys? I mean, Jameson Williams, I'm trying to tear up off of him. I know he's young, but you're not getting that production. Romeo Doubs, Christian Watson, Jahan Dotson, Wandale Robinson, Marvin Mims, Rashad Bateman. I like those guys. I really do. They're not roster cloggers, but I'm trying to tear up off of all of them to get to those veterans. Yep. I will give you Jahan Dotson in a second for Mike Evans in a third all day long. And I think if that guy's not contending, he would do it too. You know, so yep. I think this is that area in Dynasty where you really start to, the contending teams should keep going further and the teams that are rebuilding should keep insulating on their value. And that's why Dynasty is so much more fun than redraft.
Exactly. And speaking of Jahan Dotson, let's talk about the better wide receiver over there in Washington and Terry McLaurin. 28 years old, elite vertical threat. He's been viewed as one of those better for the NFL players than fantasy because he's had Snoog and Dad thrown on the football for the past 6 years. He's about to get the best QB he's ever played with. Drake May, Jaden Daniels, one of them's going to Washington. Maybe J.J. McCarthy goes there. Who knows? It's all smoke screens right now. I don't know anything. You don't know anything. Someone's going to be throwing footballs to Terry. Hopefully it's Drake May with that gunslinging arm. Terry McLaurin is like, I look at him like a DJ Moore light going into Chicago, right? Dude. Like he's a guy, he's going to give you 1,100, 1,200 yards consistently. He's been a 1,000-yard receiver with Heinicke, Brissett, you name it. And now he's probably going to get a bump in touchdown efficiency. Maybe he's looking at 7 touchdowns, 8 touchdowns, 9 touchdowns. He hasn't been in that range since his rookie year. I think the real world, Terry McLaurin goes for 1,100, 1,200 yards and 8 to 10 touchdowns with Drake May or Jaden Daniels in Washington, and he's a top 12 wideout. So.
I love that you and I had a post within the same week about Terry McLaurin. Didn't talk about it at all, but mine, I was saying there's been 6 wide receivers that have eclipsed 1,000 yards 4 straight years. It's Davante Adams, it's Mike Evans, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, and Terry McLaurin. Out of that group, you look at who is throwing the ball. Davante Adams had, you know, during that time, he had Rodgers. During that time, Evans had Brady and Baker. Diggs had Josh Allen. Hill had both Patrick Mahomes and Tua Tagovailoa. Jefferson had Kirk Cousins for most of that time. Terry McLaurin had 6 or 7 different quarterbacks, none of them playing solid. I mean, right now, you look at what he had a horrible, horrible quarterback play last year. 132 targets, 84 catchable passes. 84. That's 63.6. Out of those 84 catchable passes, he caught 79. He is an elite wide receiver. I bought him the other day for Russell Wilson. I felt great about it. You know, I feel like he's someone you can get for a mid-second. And as soon as I posted it, people were saying, yo, Dad, but he's 29. I don't care. It's not, you're buying a guy. There are guys to buy that are going to ascend in value. There are guys that you buy that they're at their value. You know, and I think you buy production on a guy like Terry McLaurin. I'll give you the 205, right? Mm-hmm. That wide receiver, that somebody at 205 could hit or they could bust. But I know with Terry McLaurin, I'm going to get 2 straight wide receiver 2 seasons over the next 2 years, which you might not get from that rookie pick.
Exactly. And you could even throw Deontay Johnson in that mix, right? Another guy that we've seen that ceiling from. We've seen him as a consistent target earner, playing with the best QB he's ever played with in Bryce Young. I know he played with Big Ben, but Big Ben had no arm, couldn't throw the ball past 20 yards. And I know that benefited Deontay's game. But, like, look at Deontay Johnson and then look at what Adam Thielen did last year. They're similar to players, right? Like, they dominate in the short and intermediate areas. Bryce Young is going to need to get that ball out quick, easy. Deontay Johnson's the guy there. He's going to do very well in a Dave Canales-led offense. So,
yeah, that's a great point. And I think he's going to be Adam Thielen on steroids. Is he ever going to catch 10 touchdowns? Probably not. Nope. You know what I mean? But is he going to get 150 targets next year? Yes. Like, he is going to get peppered, and I'm all about that. I feel like that is a huge buy. I love that in that early second range. And I think that's where, I mean, what wide receivers are you looking in that range? You know what I mean? You love Baker. You know, Purcell's solid. Franklin's in that area. Maybe Adonai Mitchell. You know what I mean? Depending where you're at. If you get to that 204, 205, some of these wide receivers, I think, are really good bets because we know what they're going to get. If you get an Amari Cooper, he's got that skill set and the longevity to last 3 or 4 more years playing really solid football. Same with McLaurin. Same with a guy like that. Another guy that I'm buying is Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk has kind of been written off because of last year he didn't, you know, it's not that he didn't produce. 2 years ago, he was wide receiver 13 in some formats, wide receiver 12. And Calvin Ridley did eat into that a little bit more, but he was banged up. He was injured. Mm-hmm. If they bring in a Brian Thomas Jr., that would complement perfectly with Christian Kirk, right? It's only going to make things better for him. And he's someone that right now, I bought him the other day for the 207, and I was almost like, did you send that? I'm going to smash that all day because he belongs in that 202 to 204 range. And, you know, he is someone that's just going to, he's not sexy, right? You never call up your buddy and say, dude, you're not going to believe it. I just traded for Christian Kirk, but he's going to put up points for you.
Yeah, he's always been one of those guys for me too, where it's just like, he's not a pretty player to have on your team, but he gets the job done. I'm personally looking to buy him after the draft because yeah. I do confidently believe that 17 or even the Jags move up, move down. They're coming out of round one with a wide receiver one, Brian Thomas, someone in that Alpha X role. Maybe it's Adonai Mitchell, someone like that. But I think Brian Thomas Jr. with Trevor Lawrence, we saw what he did with Justin Ross and T. Higgins, lengthy, elite athlete wide receivers that are fluid movers. Brian Thomas Jr., Trevor Lawrence, match made in heaven. He'd complement Christian Kirk very well. Kirk's kind of like that flanker, Z slot type receiver. Gabe Davis is going to honestly be that hit or miss, go deep guy. Christian Kirk's going to stay eating underneath, and then Thomas is going to be that alpha. But the only thing I always got worried with Christian Kirk is the emergence of Evan Ingram. I mean, he basically wins in that slot better than Christian Kirk did, and he's coming off a 100-plus reception season. The room's a little bit crowded there, so I think they just need that Alpha X, and whoever that Alpha X is going to be the value there because we saw how many opportunities Ridley had and couldn't thrive in that role. I think Kirk's a guy that once they draft a Brian Thomas Jr., everyone's panicking on him, and you can get him for the 210. You can get him for the 212, and that's the type of player that it's like, okay, I give up the 212. He's giving me a top 30 season guaranteed, so it's an easy buy. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you for sure on that, you know, and I think this is just that fun time where you can start to make some value. You can start to get some things in. That's a great point where when guys get drafted opposite these guys, there's going to be scenarios where the value dips on some of these players. You're going to be able to get better value. I mean, as soon as JSN went to the Seahawks, DK value dipped. Everybody said he was going to be the number one. Didn't happen. We know that Pittsburgh is looking for another wide receiver, and you know there's not much there outside of Pickens. As soon as they draft someone else, somebody in your league is going to believe George Pickens isn't worth the same amount. You know, there's so many different scenarios where you can go ahead and buy that. On the flip side, Snoog, there's wide receivers right now that are in jeopardy of losing some value. Some guys that I think people are hyping up as sleepers, as guys that they should be really investing in, like a Michael Wilson, like a, you know, like a Wandale Robinson, like a Marvin Mims. And people are really starting to pay. I saw the other day that someone traded the 204 for Michael Wilson. I just can't get it. I just can't be in that area where Arizona does not bring in someone else. Trey McBride is already that number one. We know that, you know, they're going to draft their number one wide receiver. You look at guys in that area, and I'm a little bit worried trying to invest. I like them as throw-ins on deals. I like them as sweeteners. A guy like Michael Wilson, Wandale Robinson, Marvin Mims, even, you know, Rashad Bateman, a lot of Jonathan Mingo, like guys that I'm not really investing in at all. Khalil Shakir, you know, they're guys that I'm just using to upgrade because I feel like we already know the writing's on the wall. There's going to be competition coming in.
Exactly. And if it's anybody I'm buying in those ranges, it's Dontavian Wicks. It's Curtis Samuel. It's these guys that are actually talented in good situations to thrive. Like Wicks is the cheaper of like the Romeo Doubs, the Christian Watsons, the Jaden Reeds. And you could argue he's better than all of those players, like as a talent. And he operated as that guy that was the first target on first downs. He was dominating as the first red guy. Jordan Love seemed to love that bigger body wide receiver that can stay healthy that Christian Watson can't do. Curtis Samuel has the potential to be the wide receiver two in Buffalo. He's there to dominate in the Khalil Shakir role. Yeah. He's there to be the Cole Beasley on steroids. I'm looking to buy these guys that are in the good situations. Yeah,
I moved him up to 212 and people were criticizing me, but he has
me with the Michael Wilson. Like he's trash.
If you can go ahead and you can trade Wilson or Dobbs or any of those guys we just mentioned, to get Dontavian Wicks. You know, if you're in a rebuilding, that's a little bit of a safer process. If you're win now and you can add a third or add a Gus Edwards to get to Amari Cooper, to get to Chris Godwin, to get to Christian Kirk, Deontay Johnson, go do that. Like, use these players before the NFL draft comes, because they are going to lose value.
Yeah.
A trade that I'm looking to make, you know, is like, if I have a guy like Michael Wilson, I'm trading him for Jacoby Myers, because we saw what he's done. We saw those areas where, or I'm moving myself up. But I think there's a lot of moves to be made. Curtis Samuel was a great one. You can get him thrown into deals. The other day I bought him for the 308, just straight up. Like, wow. I was like, all right, I'm just going to throw this out. This guy's rebuilding. Maybe he likes his dart throws better. He's not like Christian Kirk. He's not sexy, right? No one's ever bragging that they got Curtis Samuel. But when you get to week 8, you got some injuries. He's your wide receiver 6. All of a sudden you plug him in. He gets you 12 points, and it was worth it. You know, and I think he's going to be in that area. He's not going to accumulate a bunch of value. Like, he's never going to, even if he has 1,000 yards, he's not going to go over the 208. You know, like, but he's worth a late second, early third, just because you can put out that production.
Yeah, in your startups, in your dynasty leagues, if you're looking for guys to draft or trade, I'll pick out my 4 favorite out of the wide receiver 50 to 100 range: Josh Palmer, Darnell Mooney, Curtis Samuel, Dontavian Wicks. What do these guys all have in common? Elite quarterback play. They all have a role in their offense, and they're all tied to elite quarterbacks. Those are the type of guys you want to bet on that can have those breakout top 20, top 24 seasons. Mooney tied to Kirk Cousins. We've seen 1,000 yards come out of him before. Josh Palmer, we've seen him flash multiple times when given the opportunity due to injury. Keenan Allen, Mike Williams gone. I think the Chargers should draft Marv or Malik Nabers, but a lot of people don't think they're gonna. Imagine the Chargers bringing a guy in round 2, and then Josh Palmer's competing with that rookie and then Quentin Johnson. Like, he's going to get targets. He has the connection established with Justin Herbert. You look at Curtis Samuel. Like I said, he's that Cole Beasley on steroids. He's that good route runner, great in the short areas. He's going to make life easy on Josh Allen. And the Bills need a lot too. They could even pass on a wide receiver in round 1. Do I think they should? No, I think they should bring in a great complement to Diggs. But Curtis Samuel is good enough to get that done alongside Kincaid and Diggs. And then we look at a guy like Dontavian Wicks, was elite analytically last year, very underwhelming player in a crowded room that still produced as a 5th-round pick. He's been getting better. A lot of highly spoken coaches about him. Jordan Love loves the connection with him. He was great on a per-route basis. He's talented. There's like a 2-minute clip of Dontavian Wicks taking ankles on Twitter that has gone around like crazy. He's a nuanced route runner. He's one of those guys that he can have that Rashee Rice type season where he puts up 1,000 yards and gets close to it in this Packers led offense. So save me with the Marvin Mims, all that stuff. Yeah, he was a good prospect. Name his quarterback, Ben DiNucci, Jared Stidham. Like, that matters, especially when you're that type of player. Go for those 4 guys I just named. They're tied to elite quarterbacks, and that's how you win in Dynasty.
Yeah, I love that a lot. I think, and the Green Bay situation just keeps getting to me to be I'm selling Reed wherever I can, and I'm just trying to, I mean, I still think you can give Reed and get, you give Reed in a first or second and get Wicks in a first. And I mean, I think that's just crazy. I think Watson's talented. I think Dobbs is talented. Ideally, I'm investing most in Jordan Love, and I just keep getting more and more interested in investing in Jordan Love and Kyler Murray. You know, like, I know we've been talking about wide receivers, but I got to talk to you right now, as I've been talking to a lot of different owners, a lot of guys that say, hey, Caleb's going 1 in my league. I really want Marvin Harrison, but I have Garrett Wilson. I have Amon-Ra St. Brown, and I have Justin Jefferson, or I have 3 elite wide receivers, but my QB2 is, you know, is Derek Carr. I'm saying to people, and I got to get your input on this, I'm willing to pay the 102 straight up for Kyler Murray or Jordan Love right now. I feel like you get guys that are 25, 26 years old that are going to be elite QB1s for the next 5 years. And that's what we're trying to get from the 102. And in this year's class, if I can trade anybody outside of Caleb Williams to get either of them, I'm doing it. You know, and I think on the other end is, if you have multiple picks, you start to try to do like I'd rather do a 104 plus to get to one of those 2 guys. You know, it's kind of like what I said with Ayuk. I don't want to pay the 105 for Ayuk, but I'll give the 108 plus a second. I don't want to pay the 102 because I'd love to have Marvin. I'd love to have Neighbors. But if I have that 104 and it's Daniels or May or Bowers, I'll gladly add a second, or I'll add a late 25 first to get to Love or Kyler Murray.
Yeah, I'll actually go with my 9 and 10 in Dynasty, Anthony Richardson and Kyler Murray. Kyler's right above him. If I'm going to make a move like that, I think I'm going to shoot for that elite rushing upside and two players that are going to have great wide receivers alongside them. Like the Cardinals are getting Marv or Neighbors or Rum Odunze. They are 100% leaving that draft with one of those guys. They have picked 27 too. I've seen mocks where they took Marv and Xavier Worthy with that first and 27 pick. Like, imagine a world where Kyler Murray has Xavier Worthy in that Marquise Brown role, Marv in that Alpha X role, and Trey McBride underneath. Like, you're looking at QB1 overall ceiling there.
Yeah.
And then Anthony Richardson, he's in a Steichen-led offense. He has the potential to break fantasy football with that big, strong bazooka arm, that elite rushing upside, good offensive line, elite run game. Michael Pittman on the outside. You got Alec Pierce. You got Josh Downs. You potentially have a Brian Thomas or someone coming in, Brock Bowers at 15. I'm looking for guys that have the opportunity to get the elite surrounding supporting cast. And those two guys are there. And just from a talent and a rushing side perspective, they're 9 and 10 for me. And I think those are the two guys that could jump into they could jump a Justin Herbert. They could jump a Joe Burrow. They could jump a Caleb Williams in value.
Kyler Murray is going to, period. There's no doubt about it in my mind that he is going to jump at least Herbert. He's getting that same area as Burrow. And, you know, I was at a conference the other day. We have 30,000 thoughts a day as human beings. 95% of those are repetitive. Mine keeps coming back to Kyler Murray. Like, I keep thinking about buying. I mean, he's right there behind me on the board. Actually, this side, right? But I've been buying Kyler Murray for the last year and a half, and the value doesn't seem to be changing, and I'm perfectly fine with it because I'm getting a guy who has been notoriously inside the top 7 quarterbacks year in, year out, with the rushing ceiling where if I have, you're like, and I don't have a lot of Anthony Richardson because I traded him for CJ Stroud plus and Jordan Love plus. And if I have Anthony Richardson, I'm trading him for Kyler Murray plus right now if I can, and try to do a quick flip because he's Anthony Richardson without as much risk. You know, like I think Murray's ACL was a little bit different. We saw the way he bounced back, but I love it. That's awesome conversation to end this. Guys, no better time to sign up for the Patreon than right now. Honestly, this past month, 41 new subscribers. You guys are just blowing it up. Everybody's joining, and for a good reason. There's a lot of you guys that are saying, hey, you know, like, I want to be part of this community. And what we're trying to build there is guys talking shop. The other day, Snook sent out a thing. There were 17 trade talks within a 2-hour window of guys just saying, you know, posting a poll. Who do you think of this guy, that guy? Who are we trading for? Everybody's answering questions. Then they're tagging us. We're getting involved. Guys are talking about in the draft rooms where they're saying, who are you going to take at 106? Who are you going to take at 107? And start talking shop that way. Guys are looking, saying, you know what? I see Dad's got DJ Moore lower than Snoog does. Why do you guys have that? And everybody starts debating in there. And it's like, iron sharpens iron. You're going to get content from myself, from Snoog. You're going to get it from Mung, John, pretty much everybody. And then you're going to get it. Honestly, there are over 200 people in there talking shop all day long. You know, like, you just jump in and it's organized now. A lot of you guys, when you first started in a lot of Discords, it's just a giant chat room and you can't find what you want. Snoog has organized where it's like, this is a trade talk area. This is an area where you talk to Dad. This is an area where you look at rankings and talk about it. And then everybody's like, oh, this is what I want to talk about. I don't want to hear about Rashee Rice news. That's in the general fantasy content. I want to talk about, I'm buying Dontavian Wicks. And it's just become such a fun community. Now's the best time. We are so confident in it. Honestly, Snoog and I are willing to just say, you know what? If you sign up in April and you don't like it, here's your money back in May, because we're that confident that you're going to get so much out of this before the rookie draft that you're going to just be in so much better of a place.
Exactly. Yeah, you absolutely nailed it. I mean, this is a place where I go in daily. I get to talk to everybody. I post all my rankings in there dynasty-wise. They stay updated. I try to update them like every few weeks to try to just keep things fresh and kind of where my head's at. I also keep all my rookie rankings in there as well, and I keep that fluid and that process in tiers. And I don't post rankings much to Twitter. I usually will before the season, and then I usually will like before the draft and like pre-draft and maybe post-draft. But like my reoccurring fluid rankings stay in the Patreon, and that's where they live. Mm-hmm. And I also have Dad and I have places where you can chat with us 24/7. You can see all our rankings. You can see kind of who we want. I'll go in there and I'll post in my chat with Snook. I'll just say, here's three guys that I'm buying. Here's why. Like, I like to give added value just to the community as well, and kind of just talk football with a lot of people that like it more than I do. Like, there's 200 plus people in there that are absolute degens, and I love it. It's the place to be, and we welcome everybody with open arms.
Yeah, and now's the time because it's draft season, you know, and you guys are going to be in there the first couple days after the draft. We're going to be going over this stuff exclusively with those guys. This is who I'm buying. This is where we draft. And if you have your draft, there's rooms in there for draft assistants. There's rooms in there where, you know, like, depending on what tier in the Patreon, you can have Snoog and I help you with your entire draft. You know, like, there has been countless people that I've helped them with their entire startup, you know, because they're in that tier of the draft assistants. Yep. And those kind of things, honestly, even if it's just like Snoog and I talk when we're in a draft, I'm like, Snoog, you taking DJ Moore or Ayuk here? You know, are you taking this player or that player? Just that validation sometimes of talking through it helps you. But other times you're like, here's a trade that I would do. And they're like, oh, I didn't even think about that, but that's awesome. Like, that mm-hmm. gets you an area win. So, guys, this was a fun show. I'm glad we could, you know, share with you guys on a Tuesday morning as opposed to our normal Tuesday night. I'm going to put this out right away. Snoop, we were so excited with everything that was going on. We missed the comments, but we love you guys adding on to the comments onto the podcast. I will make sure I answer these afterwards. You know, like, there's a lot of guys that just chimed in here. You know, Adam Wallace, Howie Jr., Mile High Luke, Anthony Majaka, you guys all, like, we love you guys, you know, getting excited in that. It's too early in the morning. For some reason, I didn't see them on the side. So I'll make sure they comment and hit us up in the Patreon. Hit us up on Twitter. Thanks again for tuning in and enjoy the process. Hey, yo, that was good.